from the beginning of Paul's letter to the Philippians, he has been filled with joy and gratitude. He started by writing, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion." An attitude of joy and an encouragement to rejoice have been a main thread in this letter that urges the people of God to have the mindset of Christ. And as we heard from Pastor Joel last week, to press on to the goal, living as citizens of God's kingdom. The attitude of joy is especially strong in the beginning of chapter 4, as Paul gives his final reminders and prepares to conclude this letter to the church he loves in Philippi. It's a church with ordinary folks like us, people who struggle and who want to grow in Christ and in Christian community with one another. And this particular passage from Philippians 4 is a favorite, one that people turn to in many different circumstances. Let's read the first 9 verses of Philippians 4, beginning with verse 1. Paul writes, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companions, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have this card, and on the back it says, "John August Swanson Serigraph Celebration is a joyful portrayal of people uniting in praise and worship." It strikes me that not everyone looks happy, yet they are joyful as they worship and celebrate God's goodness together. And it felt like just the right image for this passage from Philippians 4, which highlights a joyful attitude in the church community. Now, after our worship service here this morning, our church community will have a congregational meeting about Neyland's building project. While there is much enthusiasm about it, there's also some disagreement about its scope and its cost. All along the way, people have continued to meet together to talk through their differences. We've been trying to live out one aspect of community that Paul addresses in this passage. First, Paul once again encouraged the brothers and sisters in the Philippian church community he loves to stand firm in the Lord. That's first and foremost, to set their minds on Christ and live in Christ and live for Christ. And then he tackles a concern for that congregation. There's been some disagreement. We don't know what it's about, but he has heard about it. Even so, Paul had begun his letter talking about how God had begun a work, a good work, in these dear folks. And that includes Euodia and Syntyche. They too have been fellow workers who share in the gospel proclamation, women who have worked hard alongside Paul and Clement and the others. But now there's dissension between these two. Paul has already encouraged the whole community to be of one mind, and here he does not take sides. Instead, he urges someone in the congregation to help them come to agreement, to be united, to work together with the mind of Christ. And then Paul's final exhortations begin. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. When Paul uses the word rejoice here, he means that they should celebrate in the Lord. Some days this is easy, to be joyful in the goodness of the Lord. Other days, joy feels out of reach. Honestly, it has felt a little ironic to be preparing a message about the mindset of joyfulness in a week like this. We are grieving the death of our dear friend Annetta. Some of our families have received hard news about a cancer diagnosis or surgery. Many feel weighed down by various concerns. So how do we respond to this letter that tells us to rejoice always? One thing is to remember that joy is not the same as happiness. There is surely room in the Christian life for sadness. And the joy of the Lord goes deep. And it may even be present through sadness. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. One of our Neyland members is a great example of holding on to joy, even in difficult circumstances. I've even heard some of you say, I want to grow up to be like Pearl DeYoung. When I called Pearl to ask permission to share this, she right away began to wax elegant once again about how joy is such an important part of life. She said, even when things can be discouraging, whatever you go through, there's still strength from the Lord. And she knows this in many hard situations, yet she feels so blessed. And then yesterday, Pearl sent me a quote from a Billy Graham devotional, a quote that has been a comfort to her. It says, joy does not mean that we are never sad, that we never cry. Instead, joy is a quiet confidence, a state of peace in the heart of the believer. Sometimes one is so overwhelmed by the love of God that tears of gratitude form in the eyes. At other times, it's a wonderful feeling of peace in the midst of war and turmoil. Graham wrote, like happiness, joy cannot be pursued. It comes from within. It is a state of being. It does not depend on circumstances, but triumphs over circumstances. It is a gentleness of spirit and a magnetic personality. Maybe joy cannot be pursued, yet it can be cultivated. The other day when I was talking with Pearl, she also told me there are so many good things to be thankful for. She said that when she and Peter got married, she came with just herself. And he came with his whole family. And she has experienced such blessing and delight with those children and grandchildren who are now her family. Pearl's joy is contagious. Her gentleness is evident to all. And her attitude of gratitude is something many of us aspire to. for she has learned to give thanks in every situation. Which leads us to verse 6. Do not be anxious, but with thanksgiving present your requests to God. We have staff meetings every Tuesday, and we take turns leading devotions. Sometime in September, Dawn led our devotions by putting Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 on our whiteboard. She focused our attention on how we are to pray with thanksgiving. Even in the midst of various struggles, we can find reasons to give thanks, and these are some of the things we shared. A variety of individuals who enrich our lives. Blue skies, animals, sunsets, and opportunities to explore God's creation. Crafts and creativity. The random conversations we have and all the ways we stay connected. And the Neyland faith family. People who worship and do ministry together. And especially those who pray with us and for us. And then about a month ago, when Dwayne Kelderman led the opening devotions for a meeting of the PCAs, he also used Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, and he focused especially on do not be anxious. He reminded us, it's not about what happens to you, but how you respond to it. About having the resiliency to face difficult circumstances. Now let's be honest, this can be really hard. Each of us faces something challenging. Maybe not right now, but in the past, we have all faced something that seems beyond stressful. And may the Lord help us not to be consumed with worry and anxiety. In every situation, Paul reminds us, pray to God. And even in the face of these troubles, lace your petitions with expressions of gratitude. Pray and give thanks. Because there is still so much to be thankful for. The beauty of golden leaves against a dark sky. Singing in a musical. Children being able to be vaccinated. Getting your first library card, a wedding anniversary, a new baby, participating in a state championship, and all the people who surround us in Christian community, ready to help us talk through differences, or to bring a meal, or offer a ride, or sit with us and pray. Let us remember to give God thanks for all these gifts, even, maybe especially, when things feel overwhelming. Often, when we remain in prayer and constant conversation with God, our trust in God grows. And as trust increases, anxiety decreases. And that deep down joy rises up in us. So let's remember to give God thanks. When we bring all our requests to God for health and strength and daily food, let's also be grateful. Last fall, I offered a message about gratitude based on this same passage in Philippians 4. And maybe you'll appreciate this reminder. It's something I've thought about often. Giving thanks is not only a good spiritual practice, but it's also good for our mental and physical and emotional health. One article explained how gratitude affects our brains at the biological level. Giving thanks works like antidepressants to boost our dopamine and serotonin. Gratitude has a physiological effect that brings peace of mind and well-being. So the practice of gratitude actually promotes physical and emotional and spiritual health. And Brené Brown once wrote, every person I interviewed for this one article who described living a joyful life actively practiced gratitude and attributed their joyfulness to their gratitude practice. So gratitude actually helps us become less anxious and more contented and joyful. The habit of gratitude in our conversations with God not only helps us to be more joyful, it also leads to peace. The peace of God. It's incomprehensible, isn't it? It's that peace that passes understanding, which we sang about earlier. We may experience it when we are traveling through dark waters, that inexplicable peace. It's like God is putting a shield of armor around our hearts and minds to protect us from being completely shattered by the bad news we hear and by the pain we suffer. The peace of God keeps us from despair. Peace. Sometimes I do long for peace to feel more real to me. And yet other times I really have experienced that peace, even when I'm really discouraged. And I have certainly seen it in many of you. I don't understand how. But the peace of God sustains me. It sustains you. And God's peace helps us to have the mind of Christ, that confident, hopeful, and joyful mind of Christ. Finally, Paul writes, he's nearing the end of his letter. We do still have one more week to reach that conclusion, but already a dozen verses before the closing greeting, Paul writes, finally, do this. Think about these powerful and important things. Whatever is true, the teaching of God's word, and anything that's honest. What's noble, honorable, dignified, worthy of respect. Think about the right, things that meet God's standards and are full of justice. Whatever is pure, which is innocent and holy and wholesome. Whatever is lovely, things that are beautiful, pleasing, and lead to peace instead of conflict. Whatever is admirable, the constructive virtues like generosity and kindness and compassion and a willingness to forgive. He says, think about anything that is excellent or praiseworthy. God's beauty and love and justice and truth and peace are most excellent. And these other qualities and behaviors give Christians a good reputation and exhibit the mind of Christ. Paul sums it all up by telling his readers to meditate on anything of virtue, anything worthy of praise. During November, we've taken an offering for World Renew, an organization whose people help feed the hungry and bring relief in disasters across our country and around the world. And they posted this text on their page this week. It's important to pay attention to the news of the world around us, yet they also want to remind us not to let all your thoughts be consumed by politics and division, violence, and disaster. Instead, concentrate on what is good. Meditate on anything of virtue, whatever is worthy of praise. And your life will become more virtuous, too. So celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Focus on his beauty and glory. Pay attention to the good things God is doing in your life and in those around you. And God will bring you joy as well. For the church in Philippi, Paul has been both a teacher and a model of how to live in Christ. And he encourages the people in that congregation and all of us who read this letter to follow his teaching and his example and to practice joyful living with the mindset of Christ. And then he says, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace. I skipped over one phrase earlier, but we need to pay attention to this one too. The Lord is near. When Paul encouraged the people to rejoice in the Lord, he also promised, the Lord is near. The Lord gave his Holy Spirit to remain among us, to remind us that the Lord is present with us, right here and now. And Jesus is coming again. His return is near. And Jesus continues to pray that his joy may fill us. So let us be gentle with each other and be glad because the Lord is near. And may the peace of God guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Think on these things as we live in Christ, as we experience the deep welcome of Christ in community with one another. Let's have the mindset of Christ and extend the love and kindness of God to one another and to the world. Dear friends, be joyful in the Lord. In whatever you face right now, remember the Lord is near. Come, Lord Jesus. May the peace of God be with you and guard you with the peace of God.